Hi, everybody. Welcome to the next podcast of Three Slow Guys Running Marathons. We're here with some of our old friends who we talked about maybe about a month or two ago regarding preparing for a turkey trot. So with us today is our good friend Jake, who
Ryan,
just,
thanks for having me back.
yep. And then our fellow co-host Doug, who's here today, who's also did his own turkey trot. So I know Jake and Doug. You guys ran the Silicon Valley, what is that, the Applied Materials Turkey Trot back in Thanksgiving. So maybe now it's probably about like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Before we get into that, I know Jake, you did your own. We kind of gave you some advice about running, but we'd just like to hear maybe how did you do with the running, with your training? What did you do? What sort of gear did you pick up? And maybe some any tips or tricks or maybe things that went bad during your training session leading up to that race. So maybe I'll start first. Like, what sort of gear did you get, or did you buy anything, or
Yeah, I did. So I actually, I took the advice that to prevent chafing, I did get some and to lift the sweat away. I did get some good, what do they call it? Dry fit. I got some dry fit, real thin layer dry fit pants because it's warm in the Bay Area. So I wore those. I bought some running shorts with a zipper pocket, which I ended up actually not using. I ended up carrying my phone in my hand the entire time. But I think I put my keys in there, so that was great. And the shirt that we picked up for the race was actually a dry fit shirt, long sleeve, so that worked out fantastic. Other than that, no real changes. I wore the same Brooksite running shoes, and I did stick with cotton socks. I didn't actually go out and get any cotton socks, but it wasn't that bad. It was a relatively cool day, not a whole lot of sweat, and honestly, not a whole lot of running. It was more
Yeah.
of a brisk walk the entire time. We really enjoyed it, took the time to enjoy downtown San Jose.
Okay. So what about like your training leading up to it? So I think we spoke probably in early, maybe October-ish. Yeah.
So the hard part was committing, after taking so many years off from running, the hard part really is just saying, between work and family, like how do I squeeze in time for training? So we did. We started out with a lot of walks, turning into moderate jogs, and yeah, it wasn't like definitely was not marathon training. Could have trained a lot harder, but like I said, this was more of a. I took the opportunity to make this more of a social race than a time race.
Okay. Oh, good. And then, so Doug, I know you've been running and training yourself, over the last several years, but did you do any sort of training for this one?
Nothing nor out of the normal or normal. Like Jake said, it really didn't matter for this one so much because Turkey Trot was more of a social thing. There was just way too many people out there. And then this one we signed up for the 5K. This particular Turkey Trot has a 5 and a 10K, but we were all doing the 5K.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much just a fast walk for the most part.
Oh,
So,
okay.
yeah, it was pretty easy.
All right. Well, I think then, we talked about how this turkey trot is a pseudo run, pseudo walk, just to get out there and be social. But maybe let's talk about maybe the race itself. So I'm looking at the course map. It looks like you start in downtown San Jose, and then you're basically just kind of going through downtown from like, what is it, North First Street up to, was it Jackson and out to the Alameda and
So,
probably, yeah.
the way I would describe it is you go down the opposite side of the downtown San Jose from the arena, so where the Sharks play HK Arena. You do a little bit around there, and then you cross underneath, and then you end up over
There was
on
a
the other side of the highway.
lot of residential, like through neighborhood, and the people seemed, for the most part, really supportive. They were out on their porches, with speakers and music playing, waving at us. But then there was a few people that I think might have been just irritated that the streets were blocked off. And then I didn't know until this race that there was a Japantown in San Jose, and I've heard that there's some really good food there. So that makes me want to go back. And then we passed by Little Italy, which is always a favorite spot. You know, my wife's family's from San Jose, and so that we've got some old family haunts there as well. That was nice to see again.
Now, okay, so talk about like getting to the race. Was there like, was it easy to park? Was it like crowded as heck? Was it, and how was the start line area? Were there a lot of crowds? And how many people generally are doing, do you guys know, are doing a race like this?
They usually have over 10,000. Yeah, it's a big race.
It felt like 10,000.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. They had, the crowds went back to F. And the thing with this one is A, you know, as usual, B, C, D. Then you've got like the walkers and the strollers, but it's one of those where a lot of people will just flow in at the end. They won't actually line up in a crowd. They'll be getting coffee, you know, hanging out, talking. I mean, when we started, there was a couple thousand people still in the village day of race signups, getting their shirts, et cetera. And they would have just walked out and just flowed right through it.
Okay. Now, are there bands on the course or anyone playing music and cheerleaders, that type of thing?
Oh, yeah. There was all kinds of volunteers out there cheering us on. They actually had one water station. That was kind of nice. I wasn't expecting that for a 5K. But then I didn't realize till probably about the 2.5 mile mark there was a split for the 10K. So I think, that's probably the water's more for those people running the 10K.
Okay.
Yeah, 5Ks usually have one water stop.
Do they?
So that's pretty common. But usually, and this one was about the same spot. It was about 1.5 miles, you know, or so. And so, because if I remember correctly, this was the water stop was after the second left turn. So we're down in kind of the old part of San Jose, commercial district, you know, shops and things like that. But the one thing I'll say about just races in general in San Jose, they always have a good turnout of crowd support and music on the side. It's one of the reasons why I like the doing all the races that I did there, not just a turkey trot. But this one definitely didn't disappoint as far as crowd support goes.
Yeah, and then parking you asked about, that was...
Oh, yeah.
So we got there, so I think our start time was a little after 8. So we got there about 7:30, and we got the parking garage that was pretty darn close, and we found parking almost immediately. There was a... Because the whoever coordinated the race was really good about sending out emails with, you know, communicating these are all the different parking garages, and you know, their traffic flow was set up. The local PD had seats blocked off to help everybody find their way. It was fantastic. It was easy.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's
I've
gotten better. So because all the parking garages are not where the race course runs. Years ago, some of the course you go out a little bit, and so you pass that big one that you parked in, Jake, which meant you couldn't park there because the race course went that way. So that's, they've changed it now where the course doesn't go by any of the garages, so everybody can get to a garage fairly quickly.
Yeah, and it was only maybe 4 blocks away, so it was just the walk to the race start was a good warm up.
Oh, okay, was there any? Was there free parking that day? I assume because it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it was free. Yeah.
Oh, yours wasn't? Oh,
I paid. Yep. So, but that's fine. I mean, we were also rushing in a panic because we'd gotten a little bit of traffic. So we got there 20 minutes before the race started. So, you know, it was one of those, give us 10 bucks. We're like, nope, no worries. Here's your money. Let's get going.
Okay. Now, I've run in that area before because I've run the San Jose Rock and Roll Half Marathon. So I was kind of looking at the map and trying to overlay it. But I think you start around the same area near that North First Plaza area.
Yeah.
Cesar Chavez.
Most races in San Jose start there.
Okay. Okay.
That's right in view of there's a beautiful mural of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the side of the building. So just right in view of that is where the race started.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It looks like it's the same kind of the same general area, the same general route. You do go up the Alameda, but I don't think you go as far up to Rose Garden area. But it looks good. Okay. And then finish line, are there like, I don't know if there's any beer or anything like that? Do they do anything like that at the end of this one?
So that's a little. So the finish line, the finisher's shoot is very well organized and efficient. You don't get congestion. You don't get people stuck there. They hurry you through. You get your medal. You get a bottle of water. You go down. You hook a left on it, like a switchback, and then you come backwards into the village. The thing with this race is there's not much swag. And actually, I said medal. I don't know why.
There's no medal.
They haven't given medals in a couple of years. They do every once in a while, but not this one. There's no bananas or anything else afterwards. So the race, the post-race is really set up for corporations. So they'll have like tents and everything. So if you worked for, say, Applied Materials, you go to the Applied Materials tent. For us as general participants, there was something you grabbed, Jay.
There was bottle of water and goldfish crackers.
Yeah, the goldfish crackers. That was it.
Which were tasty. And at the end of that race, that was the perfect little snack. I'll tell you, that's the first time, racer, I guess. Which surprised me. I was not expecting. So there's the finish line, and it's a big, banner. Hey, finish line, congrats, you made it. And a clock, that matches with the clock at the start line. But then right behind that, there's another sign that says, don't stop here. Yes. To Doug's point, they handled congestion. I wasn't expecting that. It's like, hey, you just ran 5K or in some cases 10K, but keep running. Don't stop here.
Well, not keep running. It's just keep walking. But yeah, because think about it. If 10,000 people stop there,
I'll tell you. I in high school, like when I was training as more of a sprinter, and so in sprinting, if you don't collapse at the end of your race, or if you got energy to keep going, you didn't race right. So I was expecting to see a crowd of people just sitting down, laying down, sprawled out, having given it all they got. But it wasn't that. It was just a little confusing. So if any first-time racers listening to this, expect that, once the race, you reach the finish line, you're going to go another 1,000 yards.
With a turkey trot in general, because I've done a couple of them, it's you're always going to have that little walk to the village and then your little walk to your car. So... it's not like you were saying, Jake, when you run a track meet, you can watch it in like the Olympic qualifiers. They finish, they collapse, they've given everything, and they need to recover before they can walk off the track. Yeah, the turkey trots are more, the vast majority of people running are expecting to justify the amount of food they're going to eat later on that day, rather than, a Boston qualifying 5K time.
Yeah, there was a good number of people wearing things like Santa hats, turkey costumes, things like that to make it fun. There was one serious runner in our corral who started a little behind us and almost immediately just very aggressively, Walker on your left, Walker on your left. And, it's like, man, you should have been in a earlier corral if you're going to be that serious about
it. Oh, yeah, he should be.
Be with the vibe, get the vibe of the group you're in.
So I was reading that this turkey trot, this is the 19th version of it. So Doug, I think you've done it more than once, right?
12 or 13, I think. Yeah. So this is my favorite turkey trot.
Like, why would you say this is your favorite? Well, I'm sure you've done others, but why is this one the best as compared to maybe another one you've done in another state or another city?
Oh, it's interesting. It's all the little subtle things you just, where you start, the organization for it, the number of people. It's one of the bigger ones. The route, I know it. You had mentioned the Alameda, and so where the 5K splits off and comes back, the 10K just goes down it. And it goes all the way down to the beer to the right, the Y, which used to be a Firehouse Subs, and then it became a burrito shop, and I forget what it was, whatever. But then you do the half, and you just keep going down a bit longer. But it's just a great run because of all the crowd support. There's mariachi bands out there. There's people cheering you on. There's people that come out and watch. When I do say, so I live in Orlando now, so the Seniors First Turkey Trot is what we do locally. And it's a great turkey trot, but the crowd support, there might be six or seven houses out for that. Whereas Jake, I don't know how many, what you'd say, we had at least 100 houses out. I mean, just people that were out.
I couldn't count. There were just, it was the town was so supportive. It was quite, it was encouraging and it was surprising.
And it's not as aggressive too. That's the other thing. I'm surprised, Jake, that you had that one guy. They always get those people that are like, you know, I'm going for a PR. Please get out of my way. Take this race seriously. And I probably was like that my first one, to be honest. But now I see these more as, you know, I'm there with a group. We're going to do whatever the group wants. And so in this case, though, it was the one thing I'll say about the social bit, which kind of screwed us up, was we had a late addition that signed up. And so my wife and I were in a corral back with her sister, and then Jake and his wife. And unfortunately, they spaced each corral out 10 minutes. So what I thought would take us 5 seconds to catch up, we actually never saw Jake and his wife until we got to the village at the end.
Okay. And how do they do these corrals? Like, how do they break them up?
A through F, 10-minute apart.
10-minute apart, okay.
Yep.
All
right. Yeah, and it was a hard 10 minutes. So it was and not
each,
like...
There was enough people in each corral. I mean, it took up darn near a full city block. Shoulder to shoulder, yeah. You know, front to back. It was a lot of people in each corral.
But no, like, I would say, you know, one of these years when I come back, because I doubt I will come back next Thanksgiving. Brian, let's see if we can get three of us to run one together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which one did you run this time?
Well, first of all, I want to compare something to you guys. I was looking at your numbers, right? So I was looking up the results of this race. So your race had your 10K, the 5K had over 10,000 people in your race. I was looking this up. And then the 10K version had over 4,000 people. That's a lot. Because the race that I did, this is a good segue, Doug. I did the Bank of Marin Turkey Trot in Novato, which starts in the Indian Valley College area, which is part of College of Marin. And you're basically running through the suburbs of Ignacio and then to back to the campus. That only had, our 10K had 255 people, and our 5K only had 886 people. And so I was one of those 886.
Oh, wow.
So it's probably like a tenth, less than a tenth of the size. Yeah.
So if you did that trail, so correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't been out there in a while, but that's not as much residential. It's just a straight shot, isn't it? Just out in tech.
Yeah, you're starting where the baseball fields are in the back of College of Marin, and then you're running down to Ignacio past past San Jose Middle School, which I think you went to, Jake.
I did.
And then running through there, and then you're going down to one, like on Ignacio Boulevard, and then you basically do a turnaround, and then you're running through the campus on your way back to the baseball fields. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's really casual, as you were saying. Like, most people are generally walking, and there's probably one corral or one group that's really racing. While the rest of the people, they're either walking or mostly walking, I'd say. So you're right. I think people are just want to justify the amount of they want some counterbalance to the amount of food or drinks they may consume that evening. So
because you totally burned off, you know, 10,000 calories in that 30-minute walk.
But, yeah.
So let's ask the most important question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any bling?
I did get a Bank of Marin Turkey Trot medal, but it's one medal for everything. So it's the same medal for the 1 mile, the same medal for the 5K, and same medal for the 10K. So it looks exactly the same.
Well, there you go. Your life is now complete. Finally gotten a race medal.
Was the medal for San Jose? Was it the same for all the races, or was it?
No, there was no medal. So there was this was a shirt this year.
Yeah.
And so for everyone who doesn't know, Brian and I have this weird superstition. We don't normally wear the race shirt of the race we're running on the day of the race. I've only done it once, which was actually when Brian and I ran an Avengers thing we did.
Yeah.
down in Southern California a couple years ago, but I did it this race because I felt Jake would probably have worn his, wanted a picture.
Yeah.
Which he did. So, you know, that worked out. But the shirt is the same for everybody. It wasn't, there wasn't a different one for the 5 or the 10K.
Difference was the numbers across your chest. There were different colors based on your corral.
Yes. The bib.
Thank you. The bib, yeah.
Yeah, bib was different. Yeah. So, but the shirt was the same. When they did medals in the past, I do not recall the medals being different. But I'd have to look one up, to be honest. They've always done medals as a, this year we had enough donations. There's an, you know, it's enough for us to run a, do a run of medals. We'll do one, but you don't have to get one at the finish line. So if you want one, go to this tent and get one. You know, and then the tent line is obviously, you know, you can imagine, but it's not, it's been maybe 3 of them that I've done it. There's not that many that have had it. The shirt's a big thing to do.
Yeah. So Doug, you were saying I generally will not wear a shirt. On race day, as you said, but for turkey trots, I think are the only time I do that an exception because I know that if I'm not going to run it, then I'm mostly going to run walk it. So, but yeah, generally I don't wear them. I was misspoken earlier when I was looking at the course map when I went to the Silicon Valley website. I didn't realize that the 5K didn't go up the Alameda. No. As much. So I think it was just one map, right, where it was showing. So I think the 10K goes out, as you were saying, and then it turns.
Yeah, you know where so if you remember the Alameda, the dip underneath by just past the stadium?
Yeah.
The Caltrain goes over it?
Yeah.
We didn't do that. So.
Okay.
So I always remember that because normally when I used to live in San Jose, I'd run it by myself. So I'd actually run the full 10K. And I, you know, went before I was smart enough to pace myself, I'd do a faster 5K than I probably should have. And this is before you convinced me that, or lied to me and suckered me into half marathons, which is lied to me and suckered me into fulls. But when I'd see that dip the first way out, I'd be like, oh God, I go right now going, yay. And then I come up and going, oh, gee, this sucks. And then it kind of like gave me a little knock. And then on the way back, I'd be like, okay, at least I know I'm almost done.
Yeah.
So that particular dip sticks out to me on almost of any of the ones that I've seen in my life. That one, which isn't that bad, has a certain bad spot in my heart.
Is that Godzilla burrito isn't there anymore, right? That one place.
No, it is. So.
Oh, it is.
You're. So it's not Godzilla. It's called Burritozilla.
And oh, Burritozilla.
Iguana's burritos, and there's a couple of them in there.
Is that that 2-pound burrito?
It's a man versus food challenge.
Joey Chestnut put that thing down in like a 2.5 minutes.
No. Joey Chestnut's never been there, but Adam Richman tried it. Yeah, he nailed it. But it's one of those, it's not an actual challenge by the restaurant. It's just a food man versus food episode. But I could not justify doing a 5K walk, particularly the way we did it, and then eating a Burritozilla, and then going and eating Thanksgiving dinner. So I think at that point, you're beyond, right? I think most people that turkey trot are kidding themselves, saying, well, I've earned my food. If you do that, you're just flat out lying to yourself. Like, you're not just making a joke. You're just living in denial. So, but Brian, did you run or walk with any of your family?
No, I met my coworker Edison, and we both just basically run walked it together. So, okay. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. No beer or anything like that at ours.
Yeah, I don't think we had any beer really. I mean, that might have been on the course. The thing I always say is turkey trots. It's one of the few races that I feel it should be run with people. You know, do it with friends or family. It's this isn't the race to, you know. Like I said, on your trek to the Boston Marathon qualifying time, check this one off. This is more of a social thing. It's very American race. Having done Thanksgiving outside the U.S., there are not many turkey trots in London. I don't know why.
I've run the Torrance Turkey Trot because it's near the area where my in-laws are from.
That would be in Southern California.
Yes.
Doesn't know where Torrance is.
So it's It's just like this. It's just as easy. It's just as fun. But since I was a late sign-in and I didn't really sign in with anyone, I just did it by myself. But that one I did run. I was one of those people who was who tried to get a fast time. But it was good. Okay, so let's see here. Other questions? Oh, one other thing I wanted to say. I actually looked up, you might find this interesting, Doug and Jake, but the first turkey trot was in Buffalo, New York in 1896. So I'm reading this Runner's World article, and it says that the turkey trot, it's older than the San Francisco Beta Breakers, which started in 1912.
But the San Francisco Beta Breakers has the distinction of being the longest continually run foot race. So that particular race will always be my favorite of everything in the world.
Well, now I've got two little history nuggets. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no. Brian and I can dump race knowledge on you and see you get bored. You probably already are, but hey, that's why we're here.
Oh yeah, I can go on this topic forever. I looked up this article just to go over this with you guys. Okay, let's see other things. So Doug, next race, what's your next race lined up on your calendar?
Well, so I'm going to squeeze in because I had to make a change of plans. I'm going to find probably a 5 or 10K around here for Christmas, but the next scheduled race is the Walt Disney World Marathon. So that's in 3 weeks.
You're doing Dopey, right? All four races?
I always do Dopey. I am married to a woman who would never let me even consider not running Dopey. So that is my, for the rest of my life, even when I retire from running marathons, because it's Disney, I will still do the Dopey Challenge.
That's impressive. Well, then I'm going to meet you the following week in Disneyland.
You
for
are.
Our... Well, I'm only doing the half marathon, but I think you're doing that challenge as well down there too.
I am doing the challenge, and but you're going to run. You're still about 20, 30 minutes ahead of me on the half time. So, and you got some friends with you this time. But yeah, we can talk about that one later. I am very happy that races are coming back to Disneyland.
So we should do, I think because this race, this stuff is going to be so big. Can we do, Doug, let's do a podcast with Jake to talk about the Disney World and then Disneyland, because I think they both deserve their own two separate discussions. So
definitely. And you've run Disney races with me out here too.
I've run one, the Star Wars one, right before COVID in April of 19. So that was crazy. That was fun.
Yeah, because I didn't live out here yet. I was still coming out here, flying out here to run these races before I realized I could save a lot of money on airfare if I just moved here because there are so many Run Disney races out here.
I was, so, yeah.
By that rationale, you're saying a mortgage costs less than an annual plane ticket?
In Florida, yeah. Okay. Remember, you live in California. You know, our prices are ridiculous. The rest of the world doesn't subscribe to those prices.
I always think in my head, Doug, about how it was Run Disney the main driver of you leaving California?
No, it would be my wife. That was the main driver of me leaving California. Because to Jake's point, in all reality, yes, I would have stayed in California and flown, you know, back and forth at least the four times. But, you know, if I did all four Run Disney race events here.
Yeah.
That's a whole... We could probably do a whole episode on just the how you train in Florida versus California, because they are very different. Having the way I trained in California, I cannot do in Florida. I will die of heat stroke. So that's a very significant change.
Oh, you know what? I'd love to hear that. Let's talk about that when we talk about the Dopey stuff in January.
Cool.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. And then Jake, I didn't ask you, what's your next race? Do you have anything lined up?
Thank you for asking. No, I don't have anything lined up. You know, very likely my next race is going to be next year's turkey trot. I found that my short, stubby legs don't carry me nearly as fast enough to be a consistent runner. And also I got a little changing jobs this summer. So, you know, I got to figure out what my new schedule is. But yeah, it probably it's going to be a little while before I before I hit my next race, but now I'll be better prepared going into it thanks to you and Doug and Tim and your podcast.